Hi, my name is Dr. Patricia Murugami. Welcome to your next best self. I know you might be wondering, who's this Dr. Patricia Murugami? Well, I'm a leadership catalyst, a leadership coach, an educator on matters to do with life, leadership, love, and legacy. And I hope that as you start to listen in and practice some of the leadership insights we'll be sharing here, you'll begin to see your next best self. Welcome back to your next best self podcast with me, Dr. Patricia Murugami. Thank you so much. I see the kind of interest this series has brought out. I know I'm talking about some tough things to consider, but I have found from experience, the more you face the tough things and talk about them, the easier and actually the more meaningful your relationships will be. So today, in this second part of this series, Conversations of a Lifetime, I want us to talk about love. I know the overarching theme of this episode and this series is about dating and marriage, and I want to share a few insights to consider when you're thinking about dating and even when you're married. One of the things we talk about in our leadership circles around relational wisdom is find out your own love language. Yeah. So Gary Chapman, a renowned author, talked about the five love languages: gifts, touch, words of affirmation, quality time, and acts of service. I think it's really important to know your own love language. And the way to know your love language is to figure out how do you like your friends to love you? And how do you love your friends, your close friends? And you will find that that is precisely one of your most dominant love languages. You can also do the free assessment, which I know you can find online. And what I have found is God, in his divine sense of humor, rarely will pair you with a potential husband or potential wife who has the same kind of love language that you have. And so that is precisely where the opportunity to grow comes in. For example, if your wife's love language is acts of service and yours is quality time, every time you're asking her, let's go for a date, let's do this together, and she maybe has just had a baby and she's thinking, why can't this guy help me wash the baby, hold the baby, I just snooze for a few more minutes. In fact, I remember reading a funny quote the other day shared by on one of the groups where this lady was saying, today I'm going to sleep on my husband's side of the bed. Apparently, that's where you never hear the children's cry. You know, you never hear children crying on that side of the bed because men, for some reason, can sleep through the children crying, you know, which is very interesting. Perhaps one way to actually tune into the acts of service is for that husband to say, you know what, let me pick the baby, let me hold the baby so you can sleep, let me take care of the baby for 2 hours, you go out for a manicure, you have a coffee with your friend, because things like postpartum depression are real. And usually what happens, it's very overwhelming for a new mother, especially first-time mother, or even sometimes second, third, fourth, fifth time, sixth-time mother, seventh and eighth, because I have friends who have 8 children, and it's such a joy and a blessing. And I have found sometimes people don't even show up in the hospital when you get your third born, because they're like, you know what, it's fine, we're excited about the first two, which is something that I think we could change. So find out love languages by observation. And if you have an opportunity to do some of these assessments, which are now available online, why not? After all, we do them for our leadership and our work and professional spaces. I want to encourage you, put your dating, marital, especially your marital relationship, even higher than your professional work. Yeah, because it requires a lot more work. And I think people come into it thinking it's just going to flow easily. Another thing to talk about when it comes to love is, how do you conflict? You know, how do you fight? Do you fight unfairly or do you fight fairly? So when you're dating and you have, you know, a conflict around opinions or around certain things that you hold dearly, look at this guy and ask yourself, you know, is he the kind of person who, after we have fought about this thing, and I don't mean physical fighting, I just mean conflicting on ideas or issues or seeing them from a different perspective, is he the kind of guy who can say sorry? I'm reminded of a leadership session I did, and majority of that particular team were men. And I was talking about emotional intelligence. And the guys were like, you know what, even in our native languages, there's no word like sorry.
And I told them, well, we can't behave like natives. Yeah. We have to evolve. We have to evolve in our language, evolve in our behaviors. We can't say because native language shows there's no sorry, then we'll never say sorry. Actually, Gary Chapman goes on to talk about love languages of apology, which I encourage you to think about. We talk about that in a deep way in some of our leadership work. And so is he the kind of person who will say sorry? Is she the kind of person who fights unfairly by going into mute mode, you know, silent treatment, won't talk to you? I'm reminded of a guy who told me, this wife of mine, she's always going into silent treatment. Anyway, when she's ready to talk, she's the one who will talk first. And I thought to myself, ouch. You know, ladies, because sometimes we're the ones who go into the silent treatment mode, it doesn't help. You can actually ask for time. Say, you know what? I'm not able to talk about this issue. It's really hurting me right now. Give me a bit of time to just think about it. And then we'll talk about it, yeah, at the right moment. Don't elongate that time. You know, if you can practice what the Bible says for the Christians listening to this, that don't go to sleep angry. I know it's not easy. Eh? There are nights where you feel, I need to just think about this first. But if you can reduce the amount of time it takes for you to stay angry, then it shows you're becoming even more mature than when you first got married. When you're dating, assess how he deals with anger. Is he the kind of person who will throw things when he's angry? Is she the kind of person who becomes a vengeful, deletes numbers, doesn't want to talk to people because she's so upset with them? Is the resentment so high that she can't deal with, you know, resolving the issue? Check those things, huh? Then talk about, you know, we talked about children in the first part of this series. Now here, talk about parenting. If God grants you children, you know, how would you want to bring them up in a spirit of that love in your home? What if, you know, children don't come? Will you still love each other, you know? From where I sit, if you believe in God, for as long as your union, your marital union, is blessed by God in church, then it's one man to one woman. And as a result of that, that already is a family. You see, when children come, they're a gift. Yeah, they're a gift. And I know the rates of infertility are very high in this day and age. And sometimes it takes a long time to have children, and sometimes they go faster than they arrive, meaning that they, you know, you lose them before they are born. And so talk a little bit about these tough topics, you know. Also talk about purity, you know, when you're dating, that if you're the kind of girl, and I remember one girl telling me, I'm so excited, Dr. Tari, to meet you and for you to give us that talk, because I thought that keeping pure and being a virgin is a lost thing, you know, no one ever does that. And it's true, a lot of people are shamed for keeping pure. But I want to remind us, and this is a tough thing to say, but an important one, that the marital act was created for marriage. It actually adds on grace. The more times that in marriage that you give yourself fully to your husband and you give yourself fully to your wife. And it's not about techniques. It's about giving of yourself. And so if you practice pure love, in other words, you know that this guy, you love him, and of course the hormones are up when you see him and the vice versa. But you tell yourself, I'm not going to fall into that trap. Because what happens is that if we fall into the premarital sex trap, and sometimes people have fallen into that trap, if you fall into it, it mars and it masks your ability to see things for what they really are. First and foremost, you've given of your body and your soul to a large extent, yeah, in that marital act, but you're not married. So in the event that we've fallen into the premarital act or extramarital space, I want to encourage you, you can begin and begin again. And you can begin again by, you know, really making that decision to have, if you're dating, secondary virginity and saying, that happened in the past. I've asked for forgiveness from God. I've forgiven myself also. And I'm going to keep pure until the day I get married. And when I'm dating, that's a great test to see whether this guy is willing to hang out with you. Or also for the gentlemen who are choosing to keep pure, whether this girl is willing. You know, in my experience with wedding planning, I have seen pure, pure love. I could almost tell this couple has kept pure because of just the way they connect with each other. And so I want to encourage you, something happens when you practice that purity of love before you get married. On top of the fact that it keeps you pure, it also builds what is called self-control and delayed gratification. This is where you say, yes, I really feel that I should do this, but it's a wrong thing to do. I'm going to wait until I have the wedding band, blessed in church, I've received that sacrament of marriage. And what you find is that couples who have done that and have tried to practice purity before marriage, they're able to weather the storms during marriage, when sometimes maybe one of them is unwell and they can't really engage in the marital act. And so instead of that resentment that you're not giving me what is mine, what is my right, you find there's a lot more kindness and affection that is shown to each other. Yeah. So I want to encourage you that I have found women who say that it's better to be with a bad man than be alone. I disagree. It is better to be alone when you're dating than to be with a bad girl or a bad man. And what do I mean by bad? Loosely. The phrase is used loosely. What I mean here is someone who puts you down. Someone who makes you do things you're not supposed to do that are against your values. Someone who is emotionally abusing you. I'm reminded of someone the other day who told me her boyfriend keeps telling her she's fat. I'm like, what? He tells you you're what? No, no, no. And because of that, she's become anorexic. I asked her, why is it that you allow this man to determine your worth? Yeah? I've met a young man who told me that girl just called him shitty because he wore white socks and he wasn't driving and she was driving. I'm like, that's not your girl. If she only sees the stuff you have or what you don't have, that is not marital material. So, when you think about the person you're dating, if they're emotionally abusing you, worse still, if they're physically abusing you, please get out of that relationship. It is not worth it. Your life is never worth the pain of someone who's abusing you. And if someone doesn't want to be with you, it is not a basis for you to take your life or to harm yourself. Let me remind you that you are complete the way you are. You are complete in your incompleteness. What do I mean? With our flaws, our weaknesses, and all our struggles, we are made complete by the divine Lord. No one comes to complete us. In fact, I would like to change, because many songs have said, oh, you come and complete me. No, you're already complete. Actually, what you should pray and ask for is someone who will accept you completely as who you are. And you'll know, yes, you have these struggles, you have these weaknesses, and together we'll become better. Love, acts and rituals. Talk about things that you can do. A date night. You know, that's something that has kept a lot of marriages going. One day in the week where they do something, just the two of them. Whether you have children or not, it's important to ring fence time for your marriage. A friend of mine recently went to celebrate 50 years anniversary of her grandparents. 50 years wedding anniversary. Wow. Golden anniversary. And they all were asking their grandparents, what is it? What is it that you did to get this far? And you know what the grandfather said? Every day I came home, your shosho, your nanny, your grandmother, she always had a hot water basin, just the right temperature for me to soak my feet into as I told her how the day was and as she gave me my plate of food. And I said, wow. Rituals, small things that you do for your husband, small things that only you do for your wife. And so when you're dating, ask him, what do you consider to be love? You know, what looks like love to you? And in some ways, sometimes you don't need to ask the question, but you can observe the way he relates with his family, his friends, what he values. I think the matter of love is very much around values. Does he value money more than relationships? Does he value tasks more than relationships? Does he value, you know, prestige more than, you know, living an ordinary life? What is it that is driving his love for you, her love for you? I want to then end this piece around love by talking about your love for God. It takes three to get married. You, him, and God. Yeah, so the girl, the guy, and God. What is your relationship with God? And how will you rely on your love for God to build your relationship? So check that out. I'm not saying that if someone doesn't believe in God, they're written off. No. I think you have an opportunity to know what it is you're getting into and to see if there's potential for someone to be open to their relationship with God improving and strengthening. Because you see, love in marriage comes from that divine calling for us to become better people. When I was getting married, one of the things that I was told is that your key to heaven has a name now, the name of my husband. So that means that no matter how tough it may be, how great it may be as it has been, I know that the way I treat my husband has a very big bearing on my relationship with God. And so this is the time to have those conversations of a lifetime. Ask yourself and ask him, what would happen if we felt that the love has gone dead? Because that happens, yeah? There's a dryness that sometimes comes. Is that the time to say, quits, let me go and look for someone else? No. It's a great opportunity to see how can we rekindle that love. When I used to speak at bridal showers, I would talk about the love of a lifetime. And I would say, when you get married, every day, put aside 15 minutes gadget-free without any interruption, just to listen to each other, talk with each other, just 15 minutes, imagine. And then every week, put aside one afternoon, possibly over the weekend or an afternoon when you both can be available. An afternoon, just the two of you talking about stuff that you like to do, doing stuff that you like doing, really rekindling your recreational love, which is a fundamental type of love. Then every month, see if you can get away for a weekend. Not so easy, right? But when you can, if you can put money aside for it, it makes a very big difference. And then lastly, every year, try and synchronize your annual leave to get away for a week together. If you ring fence your time with each other as husband and wife, and remember your dating days when you probably could not spend a day without talking to each other and seeing each other, and bring that into your marriage, into what is called the dates of a lifetime, you will find that your relationship, even if you don't do all the things I have mentioned here, but you aim for them, because it's a high bar I'm talking about here. But I know that if your calling and vocation is marriage, then you may as well do your best. Give it your best, even if it'll have its potholes and bumps and big mountains to clamber and climb up and get to the summit and come down together. It's worth it. It's worth fighting for it. But it's even more worth it to prepare well for that marriage by having these conversations of a lifetime. In these conversations of love, talk about things that may hurt your love. You know, what do you call fidelity? You know, is fidelity me, you allowing me to have access to your phone? Yeah, are there any secrets? And I want to encourage you as you get into marriage, no secrets, no secrets, because that's one of the things that kills a lot of marriages. What do you consider boundaries with our friends, even if we have friends who are couples? You know, at what point, how do we keep a certain level of, you know, boundary so that we don't overlap into each other's lives in a way that's not right and that doesn't safeguard our love? You know, how, what's your relationship with social media? Who are the kind of people you talk to? How do you talk to them? Is it strictly professional? And if someone is trying to, you know, pull a fast one, what do you say? How do you respond? You know, do you say, you know what, I'm married and I'm not looking for another relationship. I wish you the very best. Yeah, as clearly as that. And if someone continues, you just block them. You tell them, I told you this before and I'm not interested. So then from there, block and report. I have had to do that on LinkedIn, which is, by the way, a professional platform. But it's so important that we're so clear about how to ring fence love. Lastly, this takes courage. These conversations I'm talking about are not a joke. I hope that the fact that you're listening to this podcast is something you, who is dating, can have this conversation with the person you're dating. As a group of friends, you can talk about this. I don't expect you to agree with me on everything here. But then again, I hope you will take the time to reflect and to choose to decide that this dating is important if we do it well to prepare you for the marriage of a lifetime. May you become your next best self through this dating process and even more through your marriage. Thank you.